This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
With Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You're listening to Roseanne Murray and Karen Stockman from Community Waikato.
Morena.
Morena to you, Karen. We just thought that this morning we'll have a little bit of a chat around a couple of forums that we've hosted at Community Waikato over the past week. And the first one we're going to talk about is collaboration. And this came about from a collaboration exercise that Community Waikato, Creative Waikato, Go Eco and the Waikato Wellbeing Project undertook with the cross-sector hui, which we ran in March at the amazing Kote Pacifica Whalei here in Hamilton.
That's right, and it was called Thriving Tomorrow.
That's correct. And so we did a little bit of an evaluation on that, but in particular, it was very much around looking forward around, you know, what does great collaboration look like? Maybe what were some learnings to take forward and what would we see as some success factors for that? So just, yeah, keen to get your thoughts on how that went, Karen.
I thought it was a great exercise, the evaluation yesterday, and for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, it's always good to reflect on your practice and it's always good to take the opportunity to really discover what you've learned from something that you've done. So that was a very useful exercise. And the second part about it was it really unearthed for me the shared appetite of all of those parties to give it another go, to grow from what we did and learned and to make it bigger and better, our relationships in the future. Because for me, that was the main thing that came out of that whole exercise was that at the heart of collaboration is relationships and the strength of your relationships and the breadth of your relationships is what begins a collaboration opportunity and it's what makes a collaboration endure over time.
That's a great point because I know one of the other people that were involved in the evaluation said, you know, at the end that for her what she believes from a best practice perspective is very much at the beginning. It's about those relationships
yep.
and, you know, sort of looking at, you know, so what are the skills, you know, the attributes, the lived experiences, you know, that everyone has that they can bring to the room.
Yeah, I think one of the other like key pieces of learning that came out of that conversation was that actually the event or the project or the whatever the focus of collaborating is secondary to the collaboration relationship. So we quite often focus in on getting something done. And while that is, you know, there's often a compelling reason for that, and that's very helpful, it doesn't negate the need to invest in finding connections, learning about each other, learning how to communicate with each other, understanding that there are different worldviews and making sure that you've got a way. I think one of our participants yesterday talked about translation. And we also talked about interpretation, you know, being able to understand and really be clear that we know what someone else is saying to us. So we're not putting our own assumptions over somebody else's contribution.
And also too, around the way you may operate can be quite different to the way someone else operates.
And absolutely.
Understanding those differences and appreciating that the strengths that both do bring to it.
That's right. That we've got our activist personalities who'll rip in and get things done straight away and our more thoughtful, reflective people who maybe take a little bit more time to get their heads around things. So, you know, those aspects of the pace at which we do things, the timeframes that we set for the activities that we do, they were all really important. Then there was a lot talked about around, you know, generosity of spirit, that this idea of building trust, right, real authentic trust and faith in one another that people will deliver. And we go back to that trust, don't we? We go back to that generosity of heart and spirit that makes us, you know, maybe more forgiving or more understanding when things maybe don't go the way we want them to go.
And also too, it's around ensuring that you have that clear vision, or, you know, what the aspiration of your impact that you're wanting to make through the collaboration.
Yeah, so the compelling why. Yep. Why is it that we're doing this? What is the impact or difference that we're going to make?
Yeah. So it's sort of like, you know, the saying, you know, all on the same page, or all in the same walker, heading in the same direction, isn't it? Very much. And that's what keeps bringing you back. I suppose it's like your North Star or your anchor point of why we're all here collaborating together.
Yeah. I think one of the things I took from the conversation yesterday, though, Roseanne, was that it's almost like there's work that we do to build the ground for collaboration even before we're in a position to collaborate on something, eh? It's like, that became really apparent yesterday, is we need to continue to nurture those relationships. We need to continue to grow those connections and understandings and conversations between our organisations, even if there isn't a project coming up in the next month or the next, you know, it's not like we just come together when there's a project or when there's an event we want to organise. It's about doing that work in an ongoing way.
So it's all about building those foundations, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
And that when that opportunity does come up, you know, that you're ready to be able to get out there and capture it.
That's right.
Come together.
Yeah.
And make
right.
that happen. We also had an exercise where we talked around about, you know, the other, you know, potential benefits of collaborating. And we had an exercise where the facilitator asked us to identify an object that she had in the room for us to look at, and sort of why that resonated with us when it came to collaboration. And I know you came up with a great one. It was all these little sort of magnetic stones, wasn't it?
Yes.
All together.
Yeah.
So do you want to just share with us sort of, you know, how you came about selecting that one?
Well, I ripped in fast and got it. And I had been looking at that as Rhonda was giving us our instructions, but I was really drawn to the magnets because, you know, each of those individual stones was unique and meaningful in and of itself, you know, and was attractive in and of itself. But when you brought them close to each other, they created a new form and a new shape, you know, and they were quite strong. So they were very hard to pull apart, and so you could dangle them from one with all the rest of them hanging off that one, or you could pull them together in a clump. And it, I think for me what resonated was the idea that collaboration is like that, like it morphs and changes, and the shape of it changes as you move it through whatever the project is that you're doing, and at different times different strengths will come to the surface.
And also, too, picking up on, you know, that's a great strength where they were all, you know, sort of drawn together, you know, whether it's through the magnet force or whatever it might be. But there also can be a fragility that does go with that. And
yes.
we found that out yesterday, didn't we, when you were playing with the magnets.
And then a few of them fell off and I couldn't figure out what it was. I couldn't figure out if it was a distance thing or it was the way I moved them. But, yes, a couple of times they fell off. And so you had to intentionally go and take the other magnets and pick them up off the floor, which I think if you're using that analogy, right, it's also quite relevant to this thought of collaboration, is that sometimes people will fall off or sometimes organisations will fall away, and there's a collective responsibility to reconnect them back into the you know, to whatever the focus is of the work that you're doing.
And that can be for a variety of reasons, and probably one in particular is around just your capacity at the time.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we're collaborating, it's not like we stop doing our everyday work so that we can just go and focus in on this one thing. People have different capacities, they have different availabilities, they have different priorities, and they work on different time frames. You know, each year, each of our organisations will have different markers through the year where we need to do certain things.
That's right. And so it's very much around ensuring you do have a timeline in place, but also appreciating the fact that there has to be some fluidity with that timeline.
And I think, yes, and I think yesterday, Roseanne, you talked about, you know, having a plan B, C, D, a contingency, and knowing that. And I know you gave an example of doing an event that had a really tight time frame, and so you do have to have a backup plan, right? So extending the time frame is not always an option.
No, that's so true. And just picking up on one of the other objects that one of the other sort of people involved in the session was, it was like a slab, wasn't it, of like a rock that I thought initially it was all just little pieces of rock all joined together, but I think it was more around just layers within that one piece of rock. So it wasn't uniform. All different sort of shapes and sizes of it.
Yeah, and definitely each of those layers was unique and visible in and of itself, but together it formed a different image. You know, like it looked different when you looked at it as a whole.
Yeah, and it was, I believe it was like identified as being strong,
mm-hmm.
and that if you threw it in water, it would create a lot of different ripples.
Yes.
Yeah, so I loved that one. And also, too, our colleague and CE, Holly Snape, she also had a great sort of quote that she used, didn't she?
Yes. Was it the impact of doing psychology study at university? She talked about, you know, the sum of the whole being greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah, and that is just so true, and I think that's a great way to summarise up, you know, yes. What the benefits of collaboration can be. And so,
and the benefits of evaluating collaboration too. Look, I was a fan of us doing this evaluation yesterday, and at the end of it thought it was one of the most worthwhile things we did around that collaboration, because it did give us an opportunity to do something bigger and more impactful in the future. And it definitely engaged people's hearts and their willingness and the idea of doing more together.
And I think just the energy that it created, it's definitely, you know, sort of left us all going, right, okay, so are we not sure if we've got the full recipe, but we've got some really good ingredients already put
Absolutely.
Together to look at potential collaboration opportunities going forward. Right, what we're going to do is just take a little bit of a break now, listen to a little bit of music from Joan Armour Trading and Drop the Pilot.
I'm the
And welcome back to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. You're listening to Roseanne and Karen in the studio this morning. And before the music, we were talking about collaboration and where we actually had the opportunity to do an evaluation piece on a recent event that we collaborated with three other organisations. And now we're going to talk a little bit about another event or a forum, managers forum, that we also recently held that was hosted by our chief executive, Holly Snape, with managers from various community organisations around the Waikato Rohe. And it was around sustainability of organisations, and I think very apt with the tough economic times that we're all facing, isn't it, Karen?
Yeah, it certainly was a popular topic. We had about 20 people in the conversation, and that's quite a good turnout for a managers forum. It's one of the larger ones. And I think you're right, Roseanne, what motivated people to turn up is that it is tough. It's tough out there, and people are working hard to think about how to keep their organisations going, and what they're really thinking about is how do we meet the needs of our community? How do we continue to have the impacts that we know are so desperately needed in the areas that we work in?
And I think it's so ironic, isn't it, at the moment that, you know, now of all times where our communities really need these amazing community providers out there to support them, it's just so tough for the organisations, let alone the communities.
Absolutely. And so, again, as we talked about before the break, when we talked about taking, you know, a real strength-based, inquiry-based approach to thinking about collaboration, we took that same approach to thinking about sustainability. Looking at what do we know, what wisdom sits in the room, how can we harvest from all of this lived experience and all of these tried strategies or initiatives, you know, how do we use that to build the confidence and capacity or capability of everybody? I think it's important to say there were some, you know, it's quite a range of different types of organisations in the room. And if we were, you know, one of the things that was glaringly obvious is there were two types, really. There were those larger organisations that have a reasonable size infrastructure. They have a decent amount of revenue coming in, not necessarily that they don't have that all going out in the services that they deliver, but they're able to employ staff. So there were organisations like that. And then the other really noticeable group in those conversations were the one-person organisations that maybe you've got a part-time person paid, or maybe you don't even really have anyone paid, or where it is very much on the ground. Everything is focused on quality service delivery. There is not a system to support that. So the person that's doing the service delivery or is also the person who's worrying about bringing in the resources to support it.
Yeah, so it was really great to have that real variety in the room, wasn't it?
It was. And I think one of the things that became glaringly obvious is that the ideas for moving forward and the solutions will be different in different circumstances. What was beautiful, Roseanne, and I know you and I talked about this earlier, is to see these larger organisations recognise and reach out to the smaller organisations, to the managers of the smaller organisations with their support, sometimes very practical offerings, but definitely a sense that they had their backs in terms of, you know, what they might be able to do to support them at this really kind of challenging time.
And what we mainly focused on in the session was around financial sustainability.
Yes.
And we sort of looked at those sort of seven key or most common themes or income streams out there. So, you know, we talked about, you know, the fundraising, we talked about the grants, we looked at the donations, we looked at sponsorships,
enterprise activity, contracting with government or contracting and membership.
And so what we did is we had like seven stations around the room, and we had like about three questions, wasn't it, that we posed to them just to help them with their thinking. And we asked them, you know, just to share with us, you know, whether it's, you know, any other questions they had themselves, or whether they had some sort of solutions potentially, or maybe best practice.
Things that they'd done that had been successful. You know, reflections that they'd had on things that hadn't been successful and what they learned from those things. Yeah.
And a common theme that came through all of that was very much, and we've been talking about that before we had the music break, was around relationships, wasn't it, and partnerships. And also collaboration opportunities under these
unconstrained.
Absolutely.
I think that was a common theme across all of those income streams, was this thought of you have to build relationships, you have to build connection, you have to make sure that your stories are out there, that people understand what it is, and they understand, whether it's donations or sponsorship or membership, they understand what that connection and relationship or that exchange, what is in it for them and how it lines up with their own interests, with their own values, with their own purpose. So if you're looking to create some kind of sponsorship opportunity, you're really looking to create some sort of meaningful relationship or partnership with another organisation, a for-purpose organisation. And so you have to understand what drives and motivates them. So it's a two-way street, isn't it? It's like, what are they going to get from this? How are they going to be enhanced from this? What is the opportunity for them? Not, please give us, you know, please sponsor this event because without you, we can't do it. It's kind of a different framing for that.
That's right. And then unfortunately, from a sponsor's perspective, they only sort of really hear from you once when you're putting your hand out, you know, looking for support, and then you might get something at the end of the year, or you might not either. So it's very much around how you actually nurture that relationship all the way through, isn't it?
And that's a good point you make, Roseanne, about, you know, this once a year thing. I think that was a key theme across all of it, was let's not just aim for a one-off. It's not about a one-off connection. It's actually about an enduring relationship. So you want to be in that relationship for more than 1 year, one event, one circumstance.
One of the organisations that I'm involved in for sponsors, we actually call them our family of sponsors.
Yes.
So we try to ensure that there's that real connect there to the organisation and all of the members of that organisation. And as some wise person many years ago always said to me, it's a lot easier to keep your current sponsors than it is to find new sponsors.
Absolutely.
So to nurture and look after those current ones, hopefully they see the value, their values also align with yours, they see the impact that's been made by their investment, really, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I think I said to you earlier, you know, Hilde Gottlieb, who's a kind of a world leader in for-purpose leadership, she wrote a book and she talks about friend-raising as opposed to fundraising. And I think that encapsulates exactly what you're talking about, as we want to build this relationship that's more than just an exchange of money.
And it's about maybe potentially providing them with the opportunity to come down to one of the events that you might be running so they can observe, you know, and see the impact that you are making across your community.
Inclusion is a great way to create connection and loyalty and you know, a sense of purpose in your contribution. You know, you can, if you're connected to it, you're much more likely to continue, aren't you?
And it also helps with when it comes to telling your story.
Yeah.
You know, I know we've spoken off air about this many a times, and it's a great way to be able to, A, keep your sponsors or any of the people that potentially fund you, keep them informed of you know, how well you're going. And also, too, for potentially looking for new sponsors or funders, donees, whoever it might be out there.
Yeah.
Indeed. Was there anything else that sort of came up that maybe we want to just share with our audience today? Or maybe is there something else, a little gem that might have been in one of the income streams? Or else, I know the second question we did pose was around how can we
make the most of what we've got?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was sort of a couple of key themes or points that came out of that?
So a couple of things that bubble to the top immediately are, one, how do we collaborate to have better purchasing power or bargaining power? So that came up.
That theme coming through again around collaboration,
And the second thing was, in times like this, making the most of what we have means looking after other things other than just the money, so particularly looking after our people.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And I know it was around that coming together and helping each other, sort of the sum greater than the parts of all, or however that saying does go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, you know, that we talked about the buying power, you know, sort of coming together and things like that.
And reviewing your expenditure, like making sure that you're getting the best deal possible for your utilities. Yeah, that came up as well.
It did, and we talked about how it seems to be always these discounts or ways of trying to woo new people to buy in, to have contracts, whatever it might be, but not for the loyal customers that have been there for so long. Yep. You know, here I am, been a member of Sky for 20-odd years and still no sort of, you know, benefits of being a loyal
customer.
Watching
other people get lured in there with these great benefits that you can't take advantage of.
That's right. Yeah. Look, we've only got just over a minute to go, Karen. So is there anything else that you'd just like to maybe how we could summarise, around the sustainability forum that we ran so that we can just share before we do sign off for today?
Well, just that true sustainability involves embracing collaboration, innovating with how we use our resources, and putting our well-being of our people first.
I think that's a great way to look at that. And so we hope that, you know, with what we've shared with you today, firstly around, you know, collaboration and what does, you know, great collaboration look like, and what are the positives that do come out of that, and, you know, potentially what are some of the success factors. But key element is around building those relationships.
Yes.
Having that as your foundation. It doesn't matter what type of collaboration event it might be that you're looking to come together to deliver. And also, too, around that sustainability, it's also thinking a little bit outside the square, but again, coming back to that theme around relationships, building those relationships, isn't it?
And if anyone's interested, our next Kumara Vine will have an article that summarises the outcomes of the sustainability conversation.
That's a great point, and we're hoping to have that out. I think it's been published about the end of this month or early in November, isn't it?
So keep your eye out, listeners.
That's great. All right, well, that brings us to an end of the show today. So we hope you've enjoyed that with us. So thank you, everyone, and ka kite.
Ka kite.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.